Don't have enough time to stay across all the latest news? ABC News Top Stories podcast explains the biggest breaking news stories and why they matter in less than 2 minutes. So you can hit play and get updated while brushing your teeth or making your lunch. And it's always up to date, ready whenever you're ready to get across the day's news. Just search ABC News Top Stories podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Wondery Country, I'm Lixidam Dundon, and today on The Breakfast Wrap, you're going to hear two voices. Not overly happy about the government's gambling reforms passing the lower house. One of them, understandably, representing wagering companies, but the other, a coalition MP. Which is interesting, given after amendments, the coalition backed in the reforms.
Clearly, it is not a preferred thing for people to cross the floor, but I have been working on this for 10 years.
You're going to hear why Andrew Wallace crossed the floor for the first time to vote against his own party. Then, separately, why one federal MP has had to beef up security amid escalating threats.
The way things have been done online over the last couple of months, I think it's pretty obvious.
Have you had concerns for your safety during some of that?
I've had some pretty strong messages sent to me, to my staff and so on, and that's why I've been identified for upgrades for security for my family home and my office.
From the Radio National Breakfast team, this is The Breakfast Wrap. Well, as you've probably picked up from our stories across the week, our Parliament House studio has become quite the revolving door of political guests. I think we may have had five in there today in the space of 45 minutes. So a shout out to our political producer, Katie McAllister, for not only helping produce the show, but also making sure everyone got in front of a mic in time so that you can hear what they had to say right here on The Breakfast Wrap. And the main story that many of them were talking about today was Labor's gambling advertising bill, officially passing the lower house of Parliament.
This new legislation is the most significant gambling advertising reform by any Australian government ever. Yeah. It increases protections for people most at risk of gambling harm while continuing to allow those who enjoy a bet to do so.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese there speaking in Parliament yesterday. So the Coalition secured amendments to this bill, targeting predatory inducements and the establishment of an opt-out register for gambling advertising. Though two Coalition MPs crossed the floor, arguing that this legislation didn't go far enough. You'll hear from one of them in a moment. But first, we kicked off with Kai Cantwell, the CEO of Responsible Wagering Australia, the peak body for Australian licensed wagering service providers. He might sound familiar because we had him on the program a couple of weeks back. So I'll let Sally remind you of what he had to say last time he was on the program.
Last time we spoke, you said some aspects of the bill went way too far. What do you make of the legislation as it stands now?
Well, I stand by my previous comments about the legislation going too far in certain areas previously. And again, I think the new measures need to be held up against the standard of what is sensible, evidence-based and proportionate. And I think, unfortunately, some of these measures have been rushed through without a great deal of consideration. And yet again, as with the substantive nature of the bill as it stands currently, we're really lacking detail on how these measures will be implemented, what some of the key factors are in terms of helping us to understand what the operating environment will look like in 6 months' time, let alone 12 or 24 months' time.
So let's dive in here. What are the specifics that worry the industry the most at the moment?
Primarily the lack of detail. So we're talking measures such as this ad stop measure. You can compare that to bet stop, which was implemented over a period of more than 4 years since its conception through to the implementation. We're talking about less than 4 months before the implementation of this new ad stop measure with very little detail on how it will work. And it's in fact a much more complex measure than bet stop itself in that there are new parties that need to be involved. So I'm unsure. Well, we're talking the online platforms in particular, as well as wagering service providers and, you know, the 7 million odd punters who enjoy a punt who's effectively have the option under this model to opt out of advertising.
Kai Cantwell there, the CEO of Responsible Wagering Australia, the peak body for Australian licensed wagering service providers. So, for a very different reason, Liberal National Party MP for Fisher in Queensland, Andrew Wallace, isn't too happy with the reforms. He crossed the floor in the House of Reps yesterday, saying they didn't go far enough. So this morning on Radio National Breakfast, Sally Sara asked him why he'd finally decided to split from his party over this.
You've been in Parliament around a decade. This is the first time that you've crossed the floor on a vote. Why did you make that decision? How did you reach that decision?
Well, I've been a very strong opponent to gambling and the damage that it causes in our country. $36 billion lost each and every year. $95 million a day are lost by Australians to gambling. And most of that money goes to international gambling companies. I want to see an end to that nexus between sport and gambling. I'm sick to death of seeing those gambling ads, particularly around sports. I get constant emails and messages from constituents asking me to do something to break that nexus. And we're seeing a whole young cohort of kids growing up thinking that gambling is a part of sport, and it's not. I fundamentally believe that this was probably a once-in-a-career opportunity for me to make a stand. I mean, I don't think the bill went far enough.
Have you had much blowback, pushback from your colleagues?
Look, clearly it is not a preferred thing for people to cross the floor, but I have been working on this for 10 years. I was involved in reforms earlier in my career to stop the use of credit cards for gambling. I stopped the building of a casino on the Sunshine Coast. So I've got a long history of sticking up for my constituents when it comes to gambling and Australians generally.
So let's talk about the detail. Yeah. Here, there'll be a ban on commissions and so on. There are restrictions on inducements. The companies will need to red flag identify at-risk gamblers. Mm. There's also the opt-out system for gambling advertising. Why is that not enough?
Well, if you look at the red flagging of problem gamblers as an example, this is effectively putting Dracula in charge of the blood bank. It's the gambling companies that will determine the red-flagged people, the people who are problem gamblers. These are the same people who are preying upon those same individuals. I do not trust the gambling companies to act with good intent when it comes to this. So I just don't trust them in that regard. I don't think the advertising restrictions have gone far enough. At the moment, the sports gambling ads have got to stop within 5 minutes of the game starting. Well, these reforms mean that they've got to stop within 15 minutes. There's always the build-up to a game, whether it's footy, soccer, rugby, it doesn't matter what it is. Kids are sitting there watching that football or that sport, and they're going to be bombarded by these ads. I don't think it's... We've really missed an opportunity here. We took to the last election a policy of banning the gambling ads during live sport for an hour before, during, and an hour afterwards. I wanted to see that extended to an hour before, during, and after, but not just on live sport, but on replayed sport as well. So all of the metrics that I set, or many of the metrics that I set out for my support for the bill really didn't get there. But I do acknowledge that Sarah Henderson, the Shadow Communications Minister, did a power of work on this, and so, as did Angus Taylor. They made a bad bill better. But at the end of the day, Sally, I've got to look at myself in the mirror and I've got to look at my constituents in the face and say that I did what I thought was right, and that's where I landed.
Do you think this is the last chance now in the next few years to do anything meaningful on gambling?
Well, Sarah Henderson was able to secure a statutory review in 3 years' time. I think that's really important. I'm not going to stop there, Sally. If I'm still in the Parliament by that stage, and even if I'm not, I'll do whatever I can to ensure that the harms that are caused to everyday Australians across this country are minimised as much as we possibly can.
Andrew Wallace is a Liberal National Party MP for Fisher on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Well, his colleague is Shadow Communications Minister Sarah Henderson. As you heard yesterday from a frustrated anti-gambling advocate, gambling reforms actually fall into the comms portfolio, not the health portfolio, as some would like. So getting these amendments and the bill through the House is a victory Sarah Henderson will be cheering on, when they pass through the Senate. So this morning, she joined Sally Sarah for an interview in our Parliament House studio.
Are you pleased with this deal? Does it tick the boxes of what the Coalition was after?
We are pleased because the bill, as it was previously, was very flawed. That was highlighted during the Senate inquiry. The bill didn't properly protect children. It didn't address predatory inducements and some of the terrible tactics of the gambling companies, who, of course, are targeting those most at risk. It didn't crack down on illegal gambling ads, and we've done that also in the amendments. So we secured a wide range of amendments, tougher restrictions on broadcasters, tougher online restrictions, the banning of predatory inducements, of course, the global opt-out register. That means that every Australian can go to the register and choose not to be served gambling ads online in this country. That's a very significant initiative of the Coalition's. And of course, the banning of illegal ads online, which are a real scourge, particularly on social media. So we really are cracking down on those.
Some of your own think it doesn't go far enough, including Andrew Wallace. Why didn't you push for further limitations on gambling advertising?
Well, we made a very significant difference in these amendments, and we think we've got the balance right. But of course, we've also announced that there will be, one of the amendments will provide for a statutory review in 3 years. So if the gambling companies think that they can get away with continuing improper conduct, if the broadcasters don't comply, if something is not working, the government, and hopefully it will be our government in 3 years' time, will be held to account. We are determined to continue to shine a light to ensure that there is proper accountability and transparency in relation to these laws. But look, we mustn't forget, we don't want to punish the vast majority of Australians who love a bet, who don't have a gambling problem. We were very concerned about ensuring that this would not punish legitimate industries, including the racing industry, which contributes billions of dollars to our economy, 100,000 jobs alone just in thoroughbred racing, including in the region. So we've worked extremely hard to get the balance right. We did have to drag the Prime Minister and the Communications Minister kicking and screaming to the table. But, you know, to be fair, we have had constructive discussions, and this bill is a vastly different bill to the one that the Labor government presented a short time ago.
On recognising and detecting problem gamblers, this is what Kai Cantwell, CEO of Responsible Wagering Australia, had to say a short time ago.
There are frameworks in every state and territory, and of course there are frameworks within the Northern Territory where most of my members are regulated that talk about the lengths that we must go to monitor in real time red flag type behaviours, whether it's around spending patterns, whether it's around time of day betting, volume of betting, etc. Now, what we do very well in the online space is we have account-based gambling. So we understand people's patterns of bets, something you cannot do with cash-based gambling.
Are you satisfied with that response?
No, I'm not, because what we found, and in the evidence in the Senate inquiry, many gambling companies are targeting those most at risk, and we heard some horrific stories. I spoke to one person who said, if it was not for the inducements, I would still have my family, I would still have my job. So this horrific targeting of those most at risk has been going on incessantly. We are cracking down on that by stopping these predatory inducements. Of course, we're also banning direct marketing of inducements for new account holders, tougher restrictions on those who've been on BetStop to have that cooling off period. But we're not going to cop it. And we're also going to, these amendments also include very significant fines, Sally, so that the betting companies will be held to account. They will be monitored. They will be held to account, and they will be fined if they think that they continue to target at-risk gamblers. And of course, these laws will prohibit that. So we think this very, very substantial advancement in what the Labor government brought before the Parliament.
Senator Sarah Henderson there, the Shadow Minister for Communications and Digital Safety, will return to the conversation around gambling with Andrew Hastie later on. I'm going to dip into another story for just a moment. You would have heard us discussing superannuation this week, with a push from One Nation for more Australians to have early access to their funds to help with the cost of living. Well, today, the Assistant Treasurer is also talking super, but with a slightly different angle. he's announcing a suite of reforms to protect super consumers, in part from telemarketers who try to convince people to switch their funds, some of whom then go on to lose their savings. It follows the collapse of the Shield and First Guardian Fund, which saw 12,000 people lose more than $1 billion in retirement savings and exposed some pretty deep flaws in the regulation of Australia's almost $4.5 trillion retirement savings pool. Daniel Molino is the Assistant Treasurer and Minister for Financial Services, and ahead of his National Press Club speech, he spoke with Sally about why he was embarking on these reforms.
So not long after I took on this role, the collapse of the Shield and First Guardian managed investment schemes came to light in a very prominent way. The scale of that collapse was shocking. Almost 12,000 Australian individual members of super funds and their families lost large parts, or in some cases, all of their super savings. But what was also increasingly clear was the predatory and inappropriate behaviour which led to those collapses. Lead generators reaching out to these people in unsolicited ways, undertaking highly manipulative interactions to convince them that their super products were not performing well or were inappropriate, and then manipulating them into inappropriate products for them. And so what we've looked at over the last year through a whole series of discussion papers is ways that we can strengthen consumer protections while retaining appropriate choice in our super system.
There's been heated debate about compulsory superannuation in the past week. We've heard contributions from Andrew Bragg, Liberal Senator, and also from One Nation. Does the government have any plans to lift the super guarantee from 12 to 15%?
There's no plans to lift the super guarantee. Getting it to 12% was the work of Labor governments over a very long period of time. And I might say, in the face of opposition, it was fought tooth and nail every step of the way by the opposition. But that is now putting people in a very strong position. And the SG at 12% now across a person's entire working life will mean that so many people will retire with very strong balances. And we're already seeing that play out in the system. It will mean at a macro level that our super system takes a lot of pressure off our pension system. And we're seeing that through the numbers already and through the projections of our pension system into the future. But it also provides individuals with that additional security. So that is a very important and strong part of our system.
Daniel Molino there, the Assistant Treasurer and Minister for Financial Services. Just a snippet of his interview on Radio National Breakfast. You can hear the full thing on ABC Listen. Right, we're going to end the program today with Andrew Hastie. He's a shadow minister. He's been talked about as a potential future leader of the Liberal Party. And over in Western Australia, he's facing an interesting few weeks. There is a by-election in a state seat that overlaps with his federal electorate, and One Nation is running a candidate. This week, he told the Financial Review that the state Liberals need to try and win the seat from Labor and not try and help someone else win it. So, as well as the gambling reforms that just passed the House, you're also going to hear about that dynamic in this interview with Sally.
In June, you signed a letter alongside a number of coalition MPs and former Prime Minister John Howard urging the Prime Minister to strengthen the government's proposed gambling law reforms, including consideration of a national regulator. The coalition has agreed to pass the government's bill with some amendments. Are you disappointed that a national regulator isn't there?
Look, I think we've landed in the right spot. Politics is the art of the possible, and we wanted to improve the government's bill. And we've done a lot of work. Angus Taylor, Sarah Henderson, and other members like Simon Kennedy have really advocated strongly for reforms and amendments to the bill. And I think we've struck the right balance. There's always more you can do. But in the end, I think we're trying to work in the interests of the Australian people. And we've made some good progress.
Your coalition colleague, Andrew Wallace, has described parts of these new proposed laws as like putting Dracula in charge of the blood bank, particularly with gambling companies identifying at-risk gamblers. What do you think of that comment?
Oh, Andrew is entitled to his point of view. He obviously holds strong views. I respect them. And I respect his decision to vote the way he did yesterday.
Let's talk about One Nation, particularly in Western Australia. Are you feeling the pressure from that party at the moment?
Look, I love pressure, Sally. I wouldn't be in this job if I didn't. I also love a fight, and I know people like James Ashby are coming for me. He's got his orders from above, And I'm going to hold my seat because I believe I'm the best person to deliver for the people of Canning, as I have over the last 11 years. Will it be a tough fight? Absolutely. Is it dirty and nasty? Yes, it is.
In what way is it dirty and nasty?
Well, I think the way things have been done online over the last couple of months, I think it's pretty obvious.
Have you had concerns for your safety during some of that?
I've had some pretty strong messages sent to me, to my staff and so on. And that's why I've been identified for upgrades for security for my family home and my office. But that's not going to deter me. I believe that I'm the best representative for Canning. I love my community. I live there. And I've got plenty of work to do in the Parliament.
So you were talking a few minutes ago about the coalition being constructive. What kind of line do you walk here between being constructive but also pushing back against parties like One Nation?
Well, I think we've got to focus on who we are as Liberals, and this is what we're doing. We've got a plan. We're talking about it. It's lower taxes, cheaper power. It's cutting migration, building more homes, and then putting Australians first. We've got a sovereign wealth fund that we're going to set up using windfall profits from the resources sector and put that towards nation building infrastructure. So we have a plan and we're going to keep talking about that plan. We're not going to be distracted by One Nation or Labor. We're going to talk about who we are, what we believe, and what our plan is to make Australia more secure and prosperous.
Does that place any pressure on the coalition to release policies sooner than the cusp of the election, given that One Nation is talking about all sorts of issues from one day to the next at the moment?
Well, it's not a thought bubble race on X with Pauline Hanson. We want to make sure that our policies are costed and modelled and are responsible. It's very easy to get a sugar hit in the headlines, but we're doing the hard work. And on the question of tobacco, for example, Mary Aldred, the member for Monash, and Senator Richard Colbeck have done some excellent work on...
But One Nation were ahead of them out public with that.
Sure. You know, they put a post out on X and they got the headlines. But in June, Pauline Hanson was saying that she was going to cut tobacco excise by 50%. Yesterday, 2 months later, it was 75%. Well, where's the work? Where's the modelling? When it comes to tobacco, we believe that it's a two-pronged approach. It's a law and order issue. We're either going to have a tobacco industry governed by the rule of law, or we're going to have a tobacco industry run by criminal gangs. We believe it should be governed by the rule of law. And then when you look at the economics of it, we believe excise is too high. Economics is about trade-off. We want to get it to a point where tobacco products are affordable for regular Australians and kill the incentive to go to the black market.
So if, understanding you clearly, you're talking more about having modelled, thought through, considered policies rather than, I think you're saying, a thought bubble race. Is that where you're coming from?
Yeah, it's not a thought bubble race on X. Anyone can post on X, but you actually have to do the work behind the policies. You've got to model the policy, you've got to cost the policy, and you've got to then sell the policy. So that's what we're in the winter now, and we're working hard on a whole range of policies, and that'll be part of our plan that we put to the people at the next election.
And that is Andrew Hastie there, the Shadow Minister for Industry and Sovereign Capability, speaking to Sally Sara on Radio National Breakfast. Well, thank you so much for listening to all of those interviews across the program, produced by the Radio National Breakfast team. The Breakfast Wrap was today produced by Oscar Coleman. I'm Luke Sidham-Dundon. See you tomorrow.